Marta Gubin, hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He is, beloved, the bread of life, the one who alone can give you eternal life and fill your life to overflowing. This is Bob Griggs, and we're going to complete our study on the qualifications of ministers of the gospel and of preachers today. And we're in Titus chapter 1, and beginning with verse 6, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry. He's not to lose his temper quickly. He's to be patient and long-suffering, as we've already seen in the previous scriptures. Now remember, we've looked at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. We've considered 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 through 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 through 26. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. All of these are scriptures that Paul wrote to Timothy concerning the requirements of men of God, because Timothy was stepping in to take Paul's ministry and to continue to be a leader in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul was giving him these guidelines concerning men of God and what their qualifications should be. And then he sent these words to Titus here in this book of Titus. And so we read here, he's to be blameless. And remember, the word bishop or elder are words that apply to pastors, our preachers, our prophets of the Word of God. And so we read here, he's not to be self-willed, he's not to lose his temper, he's not given to wine, he's not to be someone who's given over to alcohol. No striker. That is, a striker is one who strikes out, one who loses his temper, and one who will cut people down with his tongue and strike people down with his words. Not given to filthy lucre. That is, not one that's given over to money, the love of money. There are three snares that preachers have to be aware of. One of them is pride. Because they're in a position of leadership, they can become prideful. The second is women. There are many times that there are women who will seek to ensnare a preacher and to trip him up and to lead him into immorality. And that is one of the snares of being a pastor and being a spiritual leader, is that women will try to become involved with the preacher. And the third trap or snare is money, the love of money. A preacher has to be careful not to get caught up in the love of money and to be careful with the use of money. He must be trustworthy and he must honor God with his money, as was taught in the Old Testament that the priests were to tithe from what they received. So the man of God is to give a tithe, but over and above a tithe is giving. And the blessing, there's, if you will look on our website, which is BBFI, that is, it's the abbreviation of Baptist Bible Fellowship International, BBFI, BobGriggs.com, there we have a list of doctrines of our faith. And if you'll look at the doctrines of our faith, if you'll go to the last one, I believe it's number 20, the last one of the doctrines of our faith, you'll see the grace of giving. And the grace of giving will teach you, beloved, how to have God's blessings upon you. We receive many letters from people wanting money and talking about how they minister to poor people. Well, beloved, the best way for poor people to become rich is to honor God with their giving, to do things God's way. Over in Malachi, God says that His people rob Him by not giving a tenth of their income to the Lord, because the tenth of the income belongs to the Lord. And people say, well, I can't afford to tithe. But the truth of the matter is, you can't afford not to tithe. Because if you will honor God with that tenth of your income, God will take the 90% and stretch it farther with His blessings than your 10% added to that 90% would go without God's blessings. Beloved, I've seen that proven true over and over again, not only in my life, but in the lives of so many others who would believe God. But that's the problem with so many people that we hear from. They're not willing to take God at His word. They say, we're too poor, and we can't give. And yet, beloved, if they would trust God, God would meet their needs. My mother-in-law, who raised up 3 children by herself, they did not have any income from any source. They were not on welfare. They had no income. And yet she tithed. She went out and she had to work door to door selling products, and she worked at different jobs, but she always put aside 10% of her income for the Lord. And did you know God always met their needs, sometimes in the most unexpected ways? One time they sat down to eat a meal. All they had was one piece of bread, and it was cut 4 ways. And each one had one little piece of bread in front of them. She asked the son to ask the blessing, and he said, I'm not going to ask the blessing on this. If God can't give us more than this, I'm not going to bless it. And she kept talking to him until he became ashamed and asked the Lord to bless that little piece of bread. As they started to eat it, the phone rang, and the phone call that came in was from a lady that wanted some of the products that Verna's mother sold. And she came by to pick it up, and she paid cash. Normally, she'd give them a check. But this time, she said, I don't have a check. Would it be all right if I give you cash? Her mother said, absolutely. And so she gave them the money for the product, and she took that money and put aside 10% of it to give to the Lord, and then sent her daughter to the store to buy some groceries with the money. And there at the store, they were having a contest, and she filled out a slip of paper with her name and phone number and dropped it in the box and went back home. And when she got home, the phone call came in. And the phone call was from the store and said, your daughter has won 2 barrels of groceries, and said, we want her to come back and verify this information. So she had to go back, and sure enough, that was her paper that she had signed and written the information. And so the store, the barrels were too full for her to carry them. Because they were huge barrels filled with groceries. And so the store delivered them to her home. And what did her mother do? She took those groceries, she divided them up, and she gave groceries out to her neighbors around them. You see, beloved, you cannot outgive God. If you will do things God's way, God will bless you for it. God will honor you for it. And God will keep His word. God's word is true, and God always keeps His word. And so all of our lives we've tithed. I learned to tithe as a boy, even before God called me to preach the Word of God. I learned to tithe by my parents' example. And when I would be given allowance, I would tithe off of my allowance. I've tithed all my life because I learned to tithe by my parents' example and because I believe the Word of God. And God has blessed us richly and abundantly, and He will bless anyone who will obey His Word and do things God's way. But a man of God is not to be given to a love of money. That is a snare that many preachers have possibly fallen into, and it's resulted in their having to leave the ministry. Verse 8, but a lover of hospitality. A man of God is to love to help others, and to be a man, a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. That is, he's to show hospitality to strangers. He's to show forth kindness to people that are in need. And a lover of good men. Oh, yes, I have so many brothers in Christ that I praise the Lord for and have a Christian love for. A love of Christ that's shed abroad in our hearts. I've traveled all over the United States. I've gone to many places that I've never been before and gone in and met new believers, and immediately there was the love of Christ manifested. I felt that this was truly a child of God because my spirit bore witness with their spirit that they were children of God. And so a lover of good men. And then sober. Sober. A man of God is to be sober, beloved. He's not to be given over to wine or to liquor. He's to be sober and serious. He's to be just. That is, he's to be a man that is righteous and is just in everything he does. He's to be holy. He's to be a man who honors God and walks in holiness and reverences the Lord God. And he's to be temperate. Temperate in all things, that is, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Paul was writing concerning believers in Christ. And so he was talking to Titus and warning Titus to be faithful to preach the word and to exhort and to convince those who were walking unrighteously. So, beloved, these are qualifications of God's man. Till next time, goodbye.